again, thank you all for coming. Way to go for braving the weather. Oh yeah, I guess I have to have this little guy, huh? I made Chloe have it, so I guess I need to have it too. I'll scoot that over. It's going to be very noisy. So I'm recording it just because, you know, for whoever didn't make it, but I don't like being able to see myself on here, but... Anyhow, so thank you for bringing all the yummy food. Thank you, Chloe and Eve, for sharing your beautiful music. And I think, like, looking around this room, this is going to be an odd thing to do, but if you attend here at Saving Grace, raise your hand. I just wanted you to all see, like, how few we are and how many you all are. And I just think that is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming. It's always my heart to, like, have the walls come down, you know. We're all in our own little pockets, and, you know, some of you go to different denominations. Some of you might not even go to church at all. You might go to the church as a living room. And so it's just good when we can come together as women and just laugh and talk and eat. We all love doing that. And so, anyhow, it's always my heart, too, when we gather like this. Especially I tried to do this a couple of times during the month of December for the holiday season, and everybody's life, it seems, was extremely busy and crazy, I think more so than usual, but that just might be me and where I am in life. I do not know where 2023 went. Like, it just went poof, crazy. And so, so I am not a teacher. I'm not, like, you know, going to theologically going to take you through a nice long Bible study. If anything, I consider myself like this popcorn mine, you know. I have all these little thoughts that come into my head, and then I want to share them with all of you, but it's been encouraged to me to have a little acrostic to help keep me focused, because otherwise you will experience my world of all over the place. And so I think invited probably seems like 100 people. Like, if you came into my mind, then I went ahead and invited you. And then in my mind, I, like, hesitated. Like, should I send this invitation? Like, if I'm going to share something, I don't want them not inviting you just to come hear me. Like, I want you to come and have this wonderful fellowship with other sweet sisters. And then I, like, flipped it in my head. I'm like... but I want to get a phone call from Donna and have her say, come hear me at my church and something I want to share with my friends. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, absolutely, I want to. So anyhow, you know, that little wrestlings that go inside of her head. So I just thought, again, I don't want you to hear from me. I hope he has something sweet to encourage your heart with. So in not seeing myself as a teacher, I do see myself as a cheerleader. Like, I just want to encourage us all to have that joy within us. So I am going to go ahead and open up in prayer, and I'm going to ask that Jesus would be my interpreter. So if something comes out of my mouth and it's going to be yucky, may he flip it and turn it into something wonderful. So, Lord God, we do thank you for this day, and I do pray right now for Kristen and her girls as they travel home. Give them safe travels. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us here safely this day. And ask, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear what you have to say. And even as these things are typed out for me to speak, if you want to change them, I want to be willing, Lord, just to be yielded to you in whatever you have for us to hear this day. We just love you so much and praise you, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Okay, so today, some of you know, is Epiphany. And it is also known as the 12th day of Christmas. Now, I'm not going to teach on that. However, that is my word, Epiphany. So it is very interesting when I looked it up, like, each different denomination and each culture has, like, different kinds of interpretations of meaning of Epiphany. So I'll let you all Google that and have fun to see what you find out about it. But the definition of Epiphany, in simple terms, is the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the world. And so I love the beautiful songs that Chloe had chosen. Just, it moves my spirit, you know, that he came down as a babe, that he walked among us as a man. And that thought is just always so mind-blowing to me, you know, like, why did you do that? You should have stayed up there where it's safe. It's crazy down here. And so I also looked up the... A synonym is flash, insight, inspiration, and vision. And then back to the definition, although it's the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the world, it also is an illuminating discovery, a realization or disclosure. So I'll ask you, are all epiphanies a good thing? No. They can sometimes lead to personal growth, which is good, but they're and also positive change, but they can also bring to light uncomfortable truths or realizations that can be difficult to process. So that was a quote from Quorum, so I'll make sure since I, how could I rearrange it? I like the way that it said, so I'll give their credit where credit is due. So I'm going to read that again. They often lead to personal growth and positive change, but they can also bring to light uncomfortable truths or realizations that can be difficult to process. Okay, so my first letter is E, and I apologize that I do not have copies for you. As I intended, the demon of the printer ended up like not printing out anything for the last three pages, and then everything I wanted to have for you all, you know, did not happen. So some of you in the past have asked me to send you like an email copy. I'm happy to do that. That has the different scripture references and stuff. So, and I'll try to speak slowly so you can track with me. But the first word is E, eliminate. Ecclesiastes 3:6 says, a time to keep and a time to cast away. The verse, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you, came to mind. 1 Peter 5:7, I picture a fisherman like taking his net and literally casting his cares on him. And I apologize if this thing is too painting. Hebrews 12:1 through 2, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So I want to be able to take all the things that entangle me, and I want my eyes being fixed on him, and that's the solution to help me for these things. And so I think this word eliminate might be a word specifically for me, so you all get to just hear me why it's specifically for me. Many of you heard me say, just the curse of my home swallows me all the time. I move my pile from A to B, and B to C, and B to D, and A to B. So Amelia's bed is covered. Pop-Pop's coming to spend the night. It goes on Abigail's bed. My sister's coming. It goes off of Abigail's bed on Amelia's bed. And there goes my pile room back and forth. And my husband says, throw it all out. So I need help with the gas can that kept it. Yes, can and one match. But I definitely need some help on the decluttering. It consumes so much of my mind and my time, and I need to just let it go. So I don't know why. So I'm going to employ my sisters to come help me. What I can't get rid of, help me. but I do think it affects us. I hear some giggling. That must mean somebody else has the same problem as me. So 1 Timothy 6:7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Several verses remind us that everything we have comes from God. I don't think there has ever been anything in my life that I've ever lacked, if I really, really think about it. Like, is there anything I've ever lacked? Absolutely not, nothing. Even if I needed to borrow it, it was still available for me to borrow. So some of you may have mastered getting rid of things, like my one friend, you know, like you put your cup down and it's gone. You ain't getting it, even if you weren't finished sipping your coffee. And so I have not mastered that. So I don't want to be so radical that I also, because God has given us many things to be blessed by, so I'm not wanting to put trips on anybody. Some of you just love being surrounded by yourself, and that's okay. So all of us are in different places, but for me personally, right now, I need peace. I want to get rid of stuff. But so the other thing that may be not necessarily stuff, you know, are there other things that are needing to be eliminated in your life? Like maybe being on the phone too much or watching too much TV or watching too much news or being in a negative relationship or a negative habit or fill in the blank. That's where you get to go to God to see what your thing is that he wants to have you eliminate in your life. But ultimately, if there is anything that's preventing peace in your life, ask him to help you eliminate it. So the P, wanting peace, is our next letter. P is peace. John 14 is a great chapter. I encourage you to read the whole thing, but I just extracted a couple of verses from there. In verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. One of my favorite Bible verses when I was a missionary in Russia, and, you know, sometimes it's like you have your little set of favorites, and they often are ones that you hear all the time, but they're so good. So Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So many of you may have memorized this verse, but like I said, how can you improve upon that? I couldn't. And so another favorite of mine is Isaiah 26:3. He whose mind is stayed on me is kept in perfect peace. So much that we can see down here with these eyes is not peaceful. It's very discouraging. And it can swallow you, and it can put you on antidepressants, and it can put you towards holing up in the home and not really wanting to go out and see other people, and it can put, you know, lots of just a darkness upon us. And so this sounds very merry sunshine of me, but don't be looking horizontally. We need to be looking up. It's when we're looking up that this earth grows strangely dim. I love that song. That's a good one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace, or glorious face. I always, both of them sound good. The next letter is I, interested. God is interested in each and every one of you and in every detail of your life, great and small. Just think about that for a second. Most of us, it's like, you know, the liar on your shoulder says, no, he doesn't care about you. You know, he's a little bit busy running the world to care about where your parking space is when you say, Lord, give me a parking space close to ShopRite or whatever. But he does. And so Psalm 139:1-6, and this is from the New Living Translation. I like the New Living Translation. It's just like, I'll say it's more, we women like it because it's more alive and more poetic. Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it. Yep, he does. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too great for me to understand. You may think or ask, but does he really, really know me? Like I said, I had already said that. But in Psalm 139:13-16, it goes on to say, and this is from the NIV, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and that I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I won't, this is like a whole other big study, so I probably shouldn't say it because it's not in my notes. But like when we think about creation and when we think about a creator, and not everybody is on the same page in believing that God is the creator of all. So then you can go to that, okay, then there, we just blew up on the beach and somehow we came to be. That doesn't make sense to me. So my point is like going back to where did we come from? And this is what makes the most sense, the word of God and how he created us. And so, yes, it's a marvelous thing. Yes, it's still a mysterious thing. Yes, it still doesn't make sense. But that was the only one that really makes the most sense to me, because when things blow up in my home, as I've told you, order does not appear. It does not. So anyhow, So I just think it's just a marvelous thing to dwell on, that he does know you. He knows everything, and that brings my heart great joy. The next letter is P. Pray. Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I love this verse. I love that we can see Jesus, who is God, he went and he prayed to the Father. Prayer is a mystery for sure. And I know many of us can say we've experienced answered prayer. And I know many of you in here can say, why did God not answer my prayers? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When I have had people pray for me and my family, especially last year for Amelia when she went through her autoimmune, it's like a big bubble of love that just like surrounds you in a difficult time. And I'd rather have that mystical bubble of love surrounding me than despair or feeling alone or forgotten or abandoned. And I know that God is sovereign and he is over all, and there's nothing that shocks him. So he's not biting his nails when he sees how terrible it is down here. Like, did you see what happened here? And did you see what happened here? Yes, it grieves his heart for sure. But there's nothing that surprises God. So in my mortal mind, I can't comprehend all of his ways because they are far, far, far above me. Hebrews 13:5 said, God said that he would never leave you or forsake you. This is another one of my Bible like favorites up there with the Philippians. You know, God said he will never leave you. And last I heard, the definition of never is
never.
Never. Always hold on to that. When you do feel alone, when you do feel abandoned, when you feel like his voice is silent, when you feel like those lies are just crashing in, he has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. John 17, Jesus prays a prayer that he would be glorified so that the Father would be glorified. Jesus prayed in the garden, Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So I am thankful that there is no perfect formula how to pray, because the Holy Spirit knows more than me. And I want to remind myself that God is working even in difficult and terrible scenarios. And when I remember that, then I can pray, may the Father be glorified, may his will be done. Although I often want my will to be done, I need that reminder. So, again, may God be the one that gets his will, and may the Father be glorified even through our trials and tribulations. The next letter is H. Healthy. Yes, after we all ate that yummy meal and when we're around the holidays and we're pulling out the stops to make every traditional sweet and then some, I know that when I feel better physically, I feel better mentally. So a good brisk walk clears my head, helps to clear my head, helps me to sleep better. So not only healthy in our bodies, but also in our minds. We've all heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. So not only does it apply to what we eat, but also what our minds are focused on. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 1 John 2:15-17 speaks about the lust of the flesh. I personally had a problem with binge eating way back when I was a missionary in Russia. I hated it. I hated it so much because it consumed me. Like, I thought nobody else knew that I was eating a whole entire bag of Snickers, you know, in the closet, and I was just a bigger me. But anyhow, it took me going to the Lord, and it took me 3 days. I had the luxury of going away for 3 days and fasting and just sitting on his lap and crying out to him and saying, please take this from me, because I wanted to eat to live and not live to eat. And it was just such a sticky trap that wrapped me up and swallowed me. And so thankfully he delivered me from that. And so I think in wanting to be healthy, like having homes in order, there are things that I have put before him to give me that peace and order. And so I run around taking care of the world rather than taking care of my own home. So again, may God help me. It's my goal. And so, some of you may have a problem with whatever books you're reading or places you're going or whatever. Again, I am thankful that the Holy Spirit is over all of you, and I'm not. So you know those things that he speaks to your heart. But anyhow, so may 2024 be a year that we have healthy hearts, healthy minds, and healthy bodies. The next letter is A, acknowledge. Acknowledge that God is over all and in all. Proverbs 3:5-6, another favorite of mine. Trust in the Lord. In order to trust in someone, you have to know someone. So may you get to know the Lord so that you can trust him. He is a God who desires for us to know him. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And I'll reiterate there, all of your ways, acknowledge him. Great and small, big and little. Like, we just think there are some things that we've mastered, and we're like a little kid, you know, I got this, I got it. You just stay right there, watch what I can do. He's like, well, I want to be in all, with all, in all that you do. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's a book called Practicing the Presence of God. I believe it's written by Brother Lawrence. I can't recall if I've ever read it, but the title says it all to me, which is why it always comes to mind. Do I live in such a way that I'm acknowledging that he is ever present? You know, do we just tuck him in that closet and be like, don't watch this, what I'm about to do, Lord. I'm just scrolling through my phone for 12 hours because I need to see what everybody's doing in the world. Like sometimes it is very addictive. I will confess that sin. Like, Tyler is like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, and he's like, what? I'm like, such and such died. And he's like, do you even know them? I'm like, well, it's, you know, Carol's friend, sister's brother, neighbor's next door. I think I met him one time. He's like, would you put that thing away with all my guests coming out of me? So, forgive me again. Also, this is just, you know, Anne's confession day, I guess. Okay, so the next letter is N, nativity. I'll say this one's really cool because I got this one from Jesus. So, just say. All right, nativity. Many of us have a nativity set or many sets up over the Christmas holiday. So, guess what I did? I looked up the meaning for nativity. It's amazing with this little dictionary, you know, because, like, we live this life and we hear words all the time. And we're like, yeah, yeah, I know what that means. It's like, do I really? I don't. So, nativity, it comes from the Latin word, nativus, meaning birth. But over the years, it has come taken on the meaning of the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. In Micah 5:2, the place of the nativity birth was prophesied centuries before Jesus' birth. I could say my nativity was in St. Joseph's Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland on January 11, 1968. I can also say my spiritual nativity was in Isla Mirada, Florida on April 10, 1991. I am hoping that Jesus has had his nativity in each and every one of you. Let us not say there is no room in the inn of our hearts, for he desires to live in us. We are going to end the song this morning, or now it's this afternoon, with Chloe helping me sing Joy to the World because Karen and Tammy did not make it. But I used to sing the words, la, 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 la. But if you really look at the words of Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. The last letter is Y, Yeshua. Translated meaning he saves, deliverer, savior. The Hebrew name is Joshua. The Latin form of Jesus, Latin form is Jesus, and from the Greek, Iosis. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. The Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He had his nativity on the road to Damascus, and then he had an epiphany that it is no longer he who lives, but Christ who lives within him. I'll be quick, but here are 12 names in Scripture of Jesus. Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel, which means God with us. John 1:29, Lamb of God. Revelation 22:13, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Matthew 27:37, King of the Jews. Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John 6:35, The Bread of Life. Isaiah 59:20, the Redeemer, and 1 Peter 2:4-8, the Living Stone. He wants to live in you and me, and he wants us to live in him. Let us go ahead and close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you that you are all those things to us. We thank you that you are closer than a brother, closer than a friend, always ever present. We thank you, Lord, that you have an ear to hear what we have to say and that you are mindful and do care about every detail in our lives, great and small. And, Father, it's my heart that this year is a great year, that we do set aside the things that have stopped us from knowing you more intimately and from just leaving and living a life that is filled with the peace, your peace. And so we give you again thanks and praise for this day, and thank you again for bringing us all here. And we do pray in advance for safe travels, that you would just keep everyone safe and give us wisdom if everyone needs to sleep here in the pews. Then yeehaw, we'll have a party. And we love you and praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if anybody had anything to add or take away or questions or whether they wanted to share something. Because the one thing I wanted to do was I wanted us all, I know it's like, this is the like,